Today's shiur is Perek Asiri, Mehilchos Machalos Asuros, the 10th chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Kol Isurin She'amarnu Heim B'mine Nefesh Chaya V'yesh Isurin Acherim Shel Torah B'zera Ha'aretz V'heim Ha'chadash B'klai Ha'kerem V'tevel V'ha'arla. All the prohibitions that we mentioned in the preceding chapters refer to living creatures. There are, however, other prohibitions in the Torah which apply to agricultural produce. For example, the new produce of the field, mixed seeds of the vineyard, untithed produce, and the fruit of the first 3 years. And of course, the Rambam is going to explain what all these prohibitions are all about in subsequent paragraphs. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Hechadish Ketzad, what is meant by the new produce of the field? Kol echad mihamisha mine tvua bulvad. Also lechel mihachadish alo, kodem sheyikrav haomer betezayin benisan. Shenemar, velechem bekoli vecharmel lo sochlu. This prohibition applies only to the five species of grain of which the new harvest was forbidden to be eaten until the omer was offered on the 16th day of Nisan. The omer is the barley offering that the Torah speaks about, as it is stated in the book of Leviticus, and you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor fresh ears until this very day. V'chol ha'ochel kizayis chadash kodum hakrabas ha'omer lokem min ha'Torah b'chol makom u'b'chol zman bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz bein b'fnei ha'bayis, bein shelo b'fnei ha'bayis. Anyone who eats the equivalent of an olive, of chadash, of this new produce, before the offering of the omer, is subject to flogging that is based on the Torah. And this is true wherever it is and whatever time it is. That means, as the Rambam continues to explain, whether it's in Israel, whether it's in the diaspora, outside of Israel, whether it is in the days in which the temple stood, whether it is in the present day and age when there is no temple. Elo shebizman sheyesh migdash, misheyikrav ha'omer huter ha'chadash b'Yerushalayim. However, the Rambam says, there is a difference. In the days that the temple stood, as soon as the Omer was offered, it was permissible to eat the new produce in Jerusalem. Those remote places were allowed to eat the Omer afternoon because the courts would not be lazy and tarry with the offering of the Omer beyond noon. Now, in the days that there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no temple, the entire day it is forbidden for us to eat this new produce based on biblical prohibition. So the difference is that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, one had to wait only until the Omer was offered or until it was presumed that the Omer was already offered, which was noon. Nowadays, we wait the whole day. Ubizman hazebim kom shaos shnei yamim tovim hachadish asar kol yom yudzayin benisan ad la'erev. Nowadays, in those places where we have 2 days of Yontif, 2 days of the festival outside of Israel, then Chadash, the new produce, is forbidden not only the 16th day, but the Rambam says the entire 17th day until evening, but this is based only on rabbinical requirement. Biblically, we only have to wait the 16th day of the month of Nisan. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Ochel lechem v'koli v'charmel kezayis mikol echad v'echad loka sholosh malkios shenemar v'lechem v'koli v'charmel lo sochlu m'pi ha'shmur lamdu sheshlofshtam b'lavin chalukim zemi zem. Whoever eats the equivalent of an olive of each of the three things, bread, parched corn, and fresh ears before this day, is liable to a triple flogging, since the Torah says, and you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor fresh ears. And the sages have transmitted in their tradition that each one of these three is the subject of a separate negative commandment. This is what was handed over from generation to generation, that there are three separate prohibitions, and therefore the person is subject to 3 times flogging. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. Kol tvua shehishrisha kodem hakrabas haomer, afo pishlo nigmra, ela acha shekarav, muteres ba'achila, mishekarav haomer. Any produce that has taken root before the offering of the Omer, even though it was not yet completed until after the Omer was offered, one may eat that grain once the Omer is offered. Utvua shehishrisha acha shekarav haomer, afa pisha haisa zrua kodim shekarav haomer, harezu asura achi yikrav haomer shoshana haba. However, those that grain, produce, that took root after the omer was offered, even though it was already sown before the omer was offered, it is forbidden to partake of that food until next year's omer is offered. V'din zeh b'chol makom u'b'chol zman min ha-Torah. And this law applies all over, even those places that might have a different schedule of planting and sowing than Israel, and at all times, even when there is no omer, and this is based on the law of the Torah. This is not a rabbinical law. Halacha hei, paragraph 5. Tvua shehishrisha achar ha-omer u'ktzara v'zara min ha-chitim b'karka v'achar kach karav ha-omer ha-ba v'adayin ha-chitim b'karka hara'elu safik imat hitiran ha-omer k'ilu ha-yu menachim b'kad o'lo yater osam b'pnei shabotlu b'karka. Produce that has taken root after the omer, and therefore this first omer did not permit it, as we just learned, and it was harvested, and the grain that was harvested was then sown, so that when the next omer was subsequently offered, it was still in the ground. In this case, the Rambam says it is doubtful whether that omer renders the wheat permitted, because it is considered as though it was stored in a vessel, or perhaps it does not render the grain permitted, since it has become nullified in the ground, and therefore it is considered as if he had sown the produce anew. It's a totally new process of sowing, and it had not taken root before the omer, and one has to wait till next year, to the third year. Therefore, because it is a doubt, if the person harvests this grain and eats of it, he is not liable to biblical flogging for his transgression, though he is liable to the flogging prescribed by the rabbis for disobedience. Since it's a doubt, you can't give him the biblical lashes, but you could give him rabbinical lashes that are administered for disobedience. The same thing would apply in the case of a stalk of grain that had grown one-third of its full size before the omer, and the person uprooted it and then planted it again after the omer was offered, and then it did increase in size. Here also there's a doubt if it should be forbidden because of the increase until the next omer comes, or perhaps it should not be forbidden because it took root before the omer. Halachava, paragraph 6. Kilai hakerem keitzad. What does mixed seeds of the vineyards mean? That was the second agricultural prohibition the Rambam mentioned at the beginning of the chapter. Min mimine tfua o mina yirok shenizru im hagefen. Bein shezara Yisrael, bein shezara goi, bein shalomei lehim, bein shenata hagefen betocha yadrak, shnehem asurin ba'achila u'bahanoya. Shenemar, pen tigdash hamaleya hazera ashatizra usfua sakarem. Klomar, pen tisrachek v'sesar shnehem. When any species of grain or vegetable is sown together with a vine, whether by a Jew or by a non-Jew, whether it grows of its own accord, or whether the vine is planted in the middle of the vegetable patch, both are forbidden. The prohibition is to eat it, one cannot eat it, or even derive any benefit from it. This is based on the biblical verse in Deuteronomy, as it says, lest the whole fruit be forfeited, the seed which you have sown, and the increase of the vineyard. And the Rambam says that the meaning of this verse is, lest both should become forfeited and prohibited. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. V'ha'ochel kezayis m'klaya keren, bein min ha-yarek, bein min ha-navim, loke min ha-torah, u'shneyem etstarfim zem zeh. One who eats the volume of a kezayis, of an olive, of this mixture of seeds of the vineyard, whether it's from the vegetables, whether it's from the grapes, in either case, he is subject to flogging based on the Torah, and both can combine to create the olive's worth for this liability. That means if he ate half of an olive's worth of vegetable and half of an olive's worth of grapes, the two together combine for an olive's worth, and he is subject to flogging. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. B'med dvarim amurim shenizru be'eretz Yisrael, aval b'chutz la'aretz kalai hakerem b'divrei sofrim. When does the foregoing apply if it was sown in Israel? But outside of Israel, the forbidden mixture of seeds in the vineyard is only rabbinically forbidden. V'hilchas klayim yisbar eize min asar b'klay akerim, v'eize min eina asar, v'heich yasar, u'masa ye asar, v'eize davar mekadish, v'eize eina mekadish. The Rambam tells us that he's going to discuss the details of this law and the laws concerning mixed seeds. It will be explained which species are forbidden on account of mixed seeds of the vineyard, which are not, as well as the manner in which they become forbidden and the time when they become prohibited, and which become consecrated and which do not. Halacha Tes, paragraph 9. Ha'arla Ketzad. What do we mean by arla, the fruit of the first 3 years? Kol hanatei ilon machal. Kol perish osa osa ilon shalushanim mishanata harehem asurim ba'achilo ubahana. Shenemar, shalushanim yielachem arelim lo ye achil. If one plants a fruit tree, all the fruit produced by that tree for the first 3 years after the planting is forbidden, both for consumption, for eating, as well as for benefit. And this is based on the Torah's statement in Leviticus. 3 years shall it be as forbidden unto you, it shall not be eaten. Whoever eats an olive's worth of it is liable to a flogging based on the Torah. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. When does the foregoing apply? Only if it was planted, the trees were planted in the land of Israel, as it is stated, and when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees, etc. With regard to Arla, the first 3 years of a tree producing fruit outside of the land of Israel, however, it is not based on the Torah, but it is a rule that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And the rule was that Arla, which is definitely known to be Arla, is forbidden, while doubtful Arla is permitted, as opposed to in Israel where it makes no difference. And the Rambam tells us, "Ubehilchas Maaseh Sheni yisbar dvarim ha'asurim mishum Arla, u'dvarim ha'mutarim." In the laws concerning the second tithe, in the later section of the Rambam, it will be explained which things are prohibited on account of Arla and which are permitted. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Safik Arla uklaya kerem be'eretz Yisrael asur. Bisuria v'hi arata shukavish David mutar. Whenever there's a doubtful case of Arla, or a doubtful case of the mixed seeds of the vineyard, klaya kerem, they are forbidden in the land of Israel. However, in Syria, which is the territory conquered by King David, they are permitted. And the Rambam now explains, Ketzad, Haya kerem, v'arla, v'anovim nimkar es chutzolo, Haya yarak zarua betocho, v'yarak nimkar chutzolo, Sheme mimenu huze, sheme miacher, v'suria muter, v'chutzlaretz, afilu ro ha'novim yotzis mi kerem arla, o yarak yotzim min ha'kerem, lokeach mihem, v'hu shla yira oso botzim min ha'arla o lokeit ha'yarak biyado. How so? How do we understand this concept that if it's doubtful, it's forbidden in Israel and permissible in Syria? If there's a vineyard with Arla, the first 3 years, and grapes are sold outside of it, or vegetables are sown in it, and vegetables are being sold outside of it, and it is uncertain whether the produce sold has come from this vineyard or from another, here's the doubt. So in Syria, the Rambam says it would be permitted. Elsewhere, outside the land, we go even further, the Rambam says. Even if one sees the grapes brought out of a vineyard of Arla, or vegetables brought out of a vineyard, he may purchase them, providing that he does not actually see the grapes of Arla being cut, or the vegetables being picked by hand. If you actually see it, even outside of Israel, it would be forbidden. But if you don't see it, even though you know for sure it came from that type of a vineyard, it is permissible. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Kerem shehu safik arla is safik klayim be'eretz Yisrael asur, u'besuria muter, ve'ein tzarech lomar b'chutz la'aretz. A vineyard which is subject to doubt as to whether it is arla or mixed seeds is forbidden in the land of Israel and permitted in Syria. And needless to say, it is also permitted elsewhere outside the land of Israel. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Chavis yayin hanimtzeis temuna b'pardei shel arla asura b'shtia u'materes b'hanah, she'ein haganav gonev imakam v'tomein bo. If a jar of wine is found concealed in an orchard of Arla, the first 3 years, The wine may not be drunk, but is permitted for benefit. And the reason is, since a thief would not hide a stolen article in the place where he had stolen it. However, if grapes are found hidden there, they are forbidden, because we are afraid, maybe, that they were picked there and they were hidden in that place. Halacha Yudala, paragraph 14. Goy v'Yisrael shahayu shutvin b'netiyah im hisnu b'tchilas hashutfu shiyi ha-goy ochel shnei arla v'Yisrael ochel shalashanam mishnei heter k'neged shnei ha-arla harei zemuter v'im lo hisnu b'tchila asr. If a Jew and a non-Jew are partners in the planting of a vineyard, if they stipulated at the outset, as soon as they became partners, that the non-Jew will use and consume the 3 years of Arla, and corresponding to that, the Jew will eat the next 3 years when it is permissible. It is permissible to do so. But if they didn't make that stipulation at the very outset, it is forbidden. The Rambam continues, when is it permissible? B'vad shel yavo l'cheshbon. As long as it did not make a regular accounting. Kate said, how so? Kigon, she yichashev kama peiros ochel hagoy b'shnei arlo, ad she yochel yisrael k'neged osam ha-peiros. Im hisnu kaze osur, shaharize kemachlif peiros arlo. For instance, when would it be forbidden if an account is kept of how much fruit the non-Jew had eaten during the years of arlo, so that the Jew might eat the same amount of fruit in the permitted years? This arrangement is forbidden, since that would constitute an actual exchange of the fruit of Arla for later fruit, and that is forbidden. Halacha Tezva, paragraph 15. Yiroa li sh'ein din neter avai noig b'chutz l'aretz. Ela ochal peiros shana revias b'lo pidyon klal, sh'lo amru ela ha'arla. The Rambam says that this is his own opinion. It would appear to me that the law of the fourth year's fruit of a young tree, in which we require redeeming that fruit, because it is holy, that does not apply outside the land of Israel, and that the fruit of the fourth year may be eaten without any redemption, since the prohibition outside the land of Israel was decreed only with regard to Arla, and not to the law of the fourth year. And the Rambam explains, V'kal v'chomer hadvarim, u'masuri shehi chayebis b'maisos u'b'shvias midivrehim, eina chayebis b'netzer avai k'mo sheyizbar b'hilchas maisos sheini, chutz la'aretz lo kolshken shlo yi netzer avai nohegba. This is based on a kal v'chomer of deducing major from minor. If in Syria, where one is subject, according to the enactment of the sages, to the law governing tithes and the sabbatical year's produce, yet one is not liable for the fourth year's fruit of a tree, as will be explained subsequently in the laws concerning the second tithe. How much more so then that elsewhere, outside the land of Israel, where tithes in the seventh year do not apply, one is certainly not liable on account of fruit of the fourth year. Avol Beretz Yisrael noeg ba bein b'fnei habayis bein shlo b'fnei habayis. However, in the land of Israel, the law of Neter Avai, the fourth year of the vine, does apply whether in the days that the temple stood, whether in the days that there is no longer a temple. V'horam mitzas gaonim shekerem revai levado poden osa b'chutz la'aretz v'achakach yimuta b'achila v'ein l'dav rezeh iker. Some of the gaonim, the post-Talmudic sages, have ruled that the fourth year's fruit of the vine alone must be redeemed outside the land of Israel, after which it is permitted to be eaten. What they mean by this is that only the fruit of the vine has the law of the fourth year even outside of Israel, as opposed to other types of trees where they agree that it does not apply outside of Israel. However, the Rambam disagrees with their view, and he concludes this paragraph by saying, "Ve'ein ledavar ze'ikir." There is no basis for this view. Halachat Hezayin, paragraph 16. Peiros shana revias kula also lechol mehem be'eretz Yisrael ad sheyivdu. U'b'hilchas masa sheni yizbar mishpatei pidyonam b'din achilasam u'me'ein masmonim l'arlo v'l'revai. In the land of Israel, the fruit of the fourth year is wholly forbidden until it is redeemed. In the laws concerning the second tithe, the regulations governing their redemption, the law stipulating when they may be eaten, and the time when the count for Arla and for the fourth year must begin, will be explained. So we have to wait to the laws of Maaseh Sheni for all the details. Halacha Yizayin, paragraph 17. Ketzad poden peiros neter avai bezman hazeh. How are the fruits of the fourth year to be redeemed in the present day and age? Acha she'osef osam, mivareich, baruch ata Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, asher kedushan b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu, al pidyon neter avai, v'acha kach poda es kulam, v'afilu b'pruta achas, v'omer, hare elu p'duyim b'pruta zu, u'mashlich osa pruta liyam ha'melech. after one gathers the fruit, because one cannot redeem the fruit when it's still attached to the ground, so after they are gathered, one recites the blessing, "Blessed are you, God, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us on the mitzvah of redeeming the fourth year's produce." And afterwards you redeem all of the produce, even if it's with one pruta, the lowest denomination. It doesn't have to be the value of the fruit. And one declares, "Behold, these fruits will be redeemed on this pruta." And we throw the pruta into the Dead Sea. That means we throw it in a place where no one is going to find it and use it. O mechalulam al shavet pruta meperes acheres viomer harikola peres elu mechalolun achitim elu o al saorim elu v'kiyotze behen v'sarif osam kadei shelo yiyu takalul acherim v'ochel es aperos. Another alternative is he must render the fruits redeemed with a pruta's worth of other produce, and he says, "Behold, all these fruits are rendered redeemed or profaned by this wheat or by this barley." He exchanges the fruit that is holy, and he transfers the holiness onto the wheat or the barley, wherever as the case may be, and he must thereupon burn the wheat or barley so that they would not become an obstacle for others, that no one will use it, which is forbidden. And then he may eat all of the fruit. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Horu miktas hagaonim sh'af al pisha pada perush shana revi'is ochilulam also la'achlam at sh'tikana shana chamishis. Some of the Gaonim, of the post-Talmudic rabbis, ruled that in spite of the fact that one has redeemed the fruit in the fourth year, or exchanged them, it is nevertheless forbidden to eat them until one enters into the fifth year. However, the Rambam says this ruling has no basis. It appears to me that this is a ruling in error. And what is the ruling and the mistake based on? V'hatam, lefi shekosuv v'b'shana chamishis tochlu aspirio. And the reason is because it says in the Torah that in the fifth year you shall eat its fruit. And therefore these authorities took it to mean that it applies even to the fruit that was redeemed in the fourth year. However, the Rambam says, what the verse really means is something else. V'ein inyin akosuv elo shebishana hachamishis tochlu aspirio b'lo pidyon k'chol chulin shebaolam. What the verse really means is that in the fifth year you can eat its fruit without any redemption, just like any other non-holy produce, wherever it may be found. One should not pay any attention to this ruling of the Gaonim. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Hatevel keitzad. What is meant by tevel, untithed produce? Kol ochel shehu chayev lahafrish mimenu truma umaisros. Kodem sheyafrish mimenu nikra tevel v'asa lechel mimenu shenamar v'lo yichalulu as kotshe bnei Yisrael eis asher yarimu l'Hashem klomer lo yinhagu behem minag chulin v'adayin kotshim she'asidim lehitarem lo huramu. Every food from which one is obligated to separate an offering, which is truma, or tithes, which is meiser, and has not done so yet, is called tevel, until such time as he separates them, and he's forbidden to eat of it. And this is based on the verse in Leviticus, which says, "And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto the Lord," meaning that they shall not regard as profane that which is still consecrated, since the holy things which have to be offered from it have not yet been offered. The Torah is saying that we're not allowed to act as if this is not holy when there is still a requirement to separate something and make it holy. V'ha'ochel kezayis min ha'tevel. Kodem sheyafrish mimena truma gdola. Utrumas meiser chayev misa b'dei shamayim. Shenemar v'lo yichalulu was kacha b'nei Yisrael v'gomer v'hasiyu osam avon ashma. Whoever eats an olive's worth of tevel before he has separate the major offering, that is the 2% usually that we give to the Kohen, or the offering of tithes, that's the tenth of the tenth that is given to the Levi, of that tenth you give a tenth to the Kohen, whoever eats of that is punishable by death at the hands of heaven, as it is said in the book of Leviticus, and they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, so on, and so cause them to bear the iniquity that bringeth guilt. And in the Gemara, in the Talmud, we're told that the same word that is used here, chilul, profaning, is used elsewhere in another situation, concerning which it says clearly that the punishment is death by the hands of heaven. Halacha Chav, paragraph 20. Aval ha'ocha medabash nitlo mimena truma gdol o trumas meiser. Vadayin lo hifrish mimena meiseros, vafilo lo nisha bo ela meiser ani, harez eloke mishum ochal tevel. Ve'ein bo misa she'ein avon misa ela betruma gdol o trumas meiser. However, one who eats of something that has already been tithed, the great truma, that is which we give to the Kohen initially, and the tenth of the tenth that we give to the Kohen from what we separate for the Levi, and one has already given that tenth to the Kohen, but he has not yet separated the other tithes. In other words, he gave the tenth to the Kohen before he gave the tenth of his whole, all of his produce to the Levi. And even if there's nothing left to give except for the tithe that we give to the poor, the person is subject to flogging because he's eaten tevel, but there is no death penalty by the hands of heaven because the punishment of death only applies to truma gdola, the major offering, the major tithe, and trumas meiser, and the tithe from the tithe that we take from that which we normally give to the Levi. Only then, if one eats of it, does he get misa, the death penalty by the hands of Hashem. Halacha Chafala, paragraph 21. Azhara la'ochel tevel shlohurmi mimena masros b'chlal shenemar v'sucha lechel b'sherecha masa degancha v'gomer. V'hilchas trumas amasros yizbar eza davar chayiv b'truma u'b'maisros ve'eza davar potter ve'eza davar hu chayiv min ha'torah ve'eza hu chayiv min divrei sofrim. The explicit prohibition against eating tevel from which tithes have not yet been taken is to be found in the general rule, which is in the book of Deuteronomy, you shall not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, etc. In the laws concerning heave offerings, truma, and tithes, meiser, it will be explained which things are liable to truma and meiser, which are exempt, which are liable on the authority of the Torah, and which are based on the authority of the scribes. Whoever eats the an olive's worth of tevel, which is only forbidden rabbinically, or of the mixed seeds of the vineyard, or arla, outside the land of Israel, that person is liable to the flogging prescribed by the rabbis for disobedience. Halacha Chav Beis, 22. Hatevel v'hachadosh v'hegdash u'spicha shvi'is v'hakalayim v'arla mashkin hayotz miperoseim asurim kemosam v'ein lokam aleihim. Chutz miyayim v'shemen shel arla v'yayin shel klaya kerem shalokan aleihim kederach shalokan alvazesim v'al ha'navim shalahim. The juice which is extracted from the fruits of tevel, from new produce, from sacred produce, from the spontaneous growth of the sabbatical year, and from the mixed seeds of the vineyard, and from the fruits of arla, is forbidden like the fruits themselves. But one is not liable to a flogging on account of it, with the exception of the wine and oil of arla and the wine of the mixed seeds of the vineyard, for which one is liable to a flogging, as he is liable for the olives and grapes themselves. Halacha Chav Gimel, 23. V'yesh b'kachim yisurim acherim b'macholos v'kulum shal Torah heim, kegon yisurim sheyesh b'achilas trumas ubikurim, v'chalu umas esheni v'yisurim sheyesh b'kachim yizbeach, kegon pigul menosu v'tamei, v'chol echad mehem yizbarim imekomo. There are other prohibitions which apply to edible holy things, all being based on the authority of the Torah. For example, the prohibition of eating the heave offerings, the truma, the first fruits, the dough offerings, and second tithes. There are also prohibitions of consecrated things which go on the altar, such as pigul, the remnants of sacrifices, and sacrifices which have become unclean. Each of these will be explained in its appropriate place. Halacha Chav Dalet, 24. V'shir kol achilu mehem kezayis, bein lamalkas, bein lakaris. The minimum amount for the eating of which one is liable, whether it's to a flogging or to excision, is an olive's worth. The prohibitions of leavened bread on Passover have already been explained in the laws concerning leavened and unleavened products. However, the prohibition of eating on the Day of Atonement stands in a class by itself. Likewise, the prohibition of the produce of grapes to a Nazirite is not of universal application, doesn't apply to everyone. For that reason, the prohibition of each of these, their requisite minimum amounts, and the laws pertaining to them are going to be explained in their appropriate places. With this, the Rambam concludes Perek Asiri Mehilchas Macholos Asuros, the 10th chapter of the laws concerning forbidden food.